Well, when you think of organic food, what do you think of? A bin of apples at Whole Foods, a pile of greens at the farmer's market, or maybe just the blue box of mac and cheese with an organic sticker on it at Stop and Shop? Well, once a counterculture movement, organic has gone mainstream, proven by McDonald's organic coffee or Walmart's dabbling in an all-organic brand. Now, it's not surprising to see organic foods that are produced by huge industrial food systems, big agros in the business, which is the exact opposite of the small-scale farmers that started the organic movement. So where does that leave those farmers? Well, that's the question examined in a new book called Organic Futures, Struggling for Sustainability on the Small Farm. And joining us now are the co-authors of that book, Connor Fitzmaurice and Brian Gouraud, a professor of sociology at Boston College. And Connor, I should say, is a doctoral student in sociology at Boston University. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, really basic question here. Definitely see organic labeling everywhere, but, you know, in 2016, when we say organic in the supermarket, what do we mean?
That is a really interesting question, and I don't think it's one that people are really united in how they would respond. I think a lot of people shopping in supermarkets today associate organic, even today, with what they what was happening in the 1960s and 70s. It is, I think, still for a lot of people, attributed to a countercultural, alternative, non-conventional form of agriculture that you buy into through your purchase of organic products, thinking that you're doing something that is truly alternative and against the conventional system.
So let me refine my question then. Maybe I should just ask more specifically, what does the USDA mean when it allows you to label something as organic?
Well, the real focus for the USDA is on chemical inputs, what actually goes into the food, whether in the field or in the manufacturing of a processed food item. And so that focus has really been on a list of allowable and prohibited substances. And so a lot of the ecological concerns that once underlay organic agriculture have now sort of been shifted onto concerns about what sprays are used in the fields. And this has allowed bigger and bigger farms to get involved in organic farming because it's rather easy to substitute one chemical input for another.
I see. So it's not so much anymore about the holistic farming practices that at least some small farmers now still engage in, but these chemical inputs, as you were saying.
Absolutely. The strict definition would be the chemical inputs, not the practices that farmers choose to engage in.
And so what impact has that had on the small farmers who were the original champions of organic produce?
Well, a lot of scholars have looked at the ways in which these large-scale changes in the growth of agribusiness have really led to a decline, not only in the meaning of organic, but in the ability of small farmers to engage in really principled organic practices. However, what we're really concerned about in this book is to look at the ways in which farmers engage in alternative types of market relationships, whether it be selling directly to restaurants, selling at the farmers market, community-supported agriculture programs, and how they use these alternative market relationships to open up space on their farms for engaging in the types of organic practices they envision for their lives and for their land.
Hmm. Well, so let's talk about that, because I imagine many, many listeners hearing this right now are maybe members of a CSA, for example. How effective have these alternative marketing and outreach practices been? Because, you know, another side story is that if you can't really compete with the big agro in the supermarket, you know, how it's tough on small farmers. I mean, let's just put it out there. So how successful have they been with these alternative practices?
That's a really important question. So there are over 2,000 Massachusetts farms that use direct sales of some kind in order to survive at the scale that they're operating at. This is in the form of farmers markets, through community-supported agriculture, as you mentioned, sales to restaurants, or through internet purchases. So the small-scale farm requires on this kind of intimate relationship with its consumer in order to build a base upon which it can do what it does. sometimes those farmers aren't able to maintain an organic label because the process of maintaining it is really tedious.
Yeah.
Some of the farmers that we talked to simply didn't have the wherewithal to devote the amount of time that it took to keep up with the labeling.
Well, let's talk about at least two of the farmers that you did talk to who we sort of follow throughout the book. John and Katie, they're owners of Scenic View Farm. That's a family farm about 60 miles outside of Boston. Tell us a little bit about them. Why did you choose them, and what does their story tell us?
Well, they're a rather small farm, for one, and they're certified organic. And what we were really interested in was looking at the ways in which certified farmers that aren't on that really big side of the organic market make sense of these large-scale changes that have taken place in organic agriculture and carve out space for more alternative practices. And so they have, you know, a very small 6-acre farm, and they grow a diverse amount of crops. And so these were all things that we thought would provide a beneficial window into the struggles of the typical New England farm, what we think of. And so they rely on their CSA, by and large, in order to really give them the upfront cost of running their business.
Well, so when you talk to them about why being organic was important to them, what was their answer? What part of organic, and I put that in quotes because of what you said earlier about the chemical inputs versus holistic farming practice. So what was the most important part of that to them?
That's a really good question. For them, it came down to a lot of things that we don't typically think of in terms of organic farming. So it came down to having a place where they could raise a family, where children could be a part of the farming system and they didn't have to worry about what they were getting into. It came down to being good neighbors. They were working land that had been in John's family for generations. It came down to stewarding that land and making sure that the ecosystem there was able to support both wildlife and agriculture for generations to come. And it came down to the type of lifestyle they imagined for themselves.
Hmm. So they have a CSA?
They do.
And is that successful for them?
Very, very, very important for getting the upfront cost of agriculture and also keeping their schedules less hectic.
Well, it sounds like one thing that you discovered, and again, I would say that it's verified by the choices that people who are able to join a CSA are making, that knowing the person who's growing your food, knowing where it's grown and how it's grown, is really the only way to fully guarantee that you're getting exactly what you want if you're looking for sort of the whole picture when it comes to organic. But what about all those people who can't afford a CSA or can't, I mean, some deliver, some don't. What if you can't get out to the farm? I mean, because one of the things about the mainstreaming of organic was that because it went into supermarkets, many, many more people had access to those products.
Yeah, this is the conundrum of organic agriculture. It is, by and large, affordable to those who have the means, and it can be difficult for those who can't afford regular food in general to buy organic food. But I would say that it seems to also be important to mention that this is really a systematic problem of the agro-food industry as it exists in our country. I don't think I'd be the first person to say that access to real food in our country is not something that is attributed only to organic agriculture and the poorest people in our country. It's something that's prevalent throughout the agricultural system. And so while I completely agree with you that organic can often be inaccessible, real food in general is often accessible to the poorest of the poor in our country.
And I think that also a lot of these farmers are aware of the problems of accessibility.
Right.
And so while CSAs are very important for many of them to survive, others make the choice to sell at farmers markets where people can use their food stamp benefits or take advantage of Boston Bounty Bucks because they're really committed to getting healthy local food into communities.
Well, Connor Fitzmaurice and Brian Garreau are co-authors of Organic Future, Struggling for Sustainability on the Small Farm. It was really great to speak with both of you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.